I Will Find You, your new Netflix show.
Spoiler alert.
Give it to us. Did I see you kissing somebody in the trailer?
Hell no.
And Sam Worthington and Milo Ventimiglia.
I'm like, am I in Avatar? Am I in Severance? Am I in This Is Us? I don't know where I am.
Your first major film role, Bratz, was it?
Bratz, yes. I was on the side of a bus. I mean, 17, that was so cool. And then I went to college. I loved being on Dear White People. I had so much fun. There were trolls trying to boycott Netflix when our trailer first came out.
You recently shared that you were adopted.
Family is beyond blood. Family is so much deeper than that.
And your mom's with you today.
Yeah, my mom is here in her fabulous outfit.
Yes.
She tried to show me up. She might have won. Hi, this is Logan Browning, and you are listening to Life Minute.
Logan Browning in the house.
Yay. Audience applause.
Yay. Thanks for joining us on Life Minute. So good to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're just like so beautiful. I can't more beautiful in real life in person.
You.
Okay. I Will Find You, your new show, Netflix show. Oh, it looks so good.
Yes, it is so good. Are you like, do you love Netflix shows?
I do love Netflix shows, and I love Harlan too.
I love him.
Well, everything he does is so good.
They're so incredible. I mean, I've at least binged 4, maybe more.
Me too.
I mean, and you just like, you want to find out what the twist is before it happens, because you know it's going to happen. So we'll see. We'll see how quick you figure out the twists on this one.
Well, what's it like to be on it?
This is one of my first times playing law enforcement, so it was very different to have like a badge and a gun, and it's safety on set. It was a big deal. I had this guy Paul on set who was our armorer, and he has had an incredible life, and he did such a fabulous job of making me feel safe, but also teaching me how to make sure that my cast felt safe. Which just was, it's so important, you know, because someone can just hand you something. It's you're all playing pretend, and people can get hurt. So I felt very safe doing that. Then I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun running around on roofs and at tarmacs and in the heat. Toronto was so, have you been to Toronto?
Yes.
That's where we shot a lot, and it was so beautiful. Somehow Toronto can look like Boston and New York, but.
Yes.
That's where we were.
That's true. I didn't really think about how active that was. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of different. You do have to be careful. It's interesting. Well, tell us a little bit about your character, role.
My character's name is Sarah Greer. She's really a brilliant FBI agent. She's someone who's going to work her way up, already at the top of her lane as an FBI agent. And she's someone who cares genuinely about justice, even though her job is to catch fugitives. And that's kind of what you experience in the show is she's confronted with whether to do what her job says, which is just bring this fugitive in, or seek something deeper, you know, the truth. And spoiler alert.
Give it to us.
You find out that her partner is actually her dad. And imagine working with your parent. I love my mom, but like imagine like every single day. Bless their hearts, because they are, and you feel that. You feel that dad-daughter energy of, you know, why would you do this? And it's like, I'm grown. I'm in my job. I'm doing what I know to do. And they're also just from different sides. They have different ways of thinking when it comes to the job, which I think people relate to, for sure.
At what point do we find that out?
Pretty early. So, spoiler, but I mean, yeah, you can still go in and...
So who plays your dad?
Shy McBride, who is amazing. And it's so funny when you see the two of us together, because I am like 5'2", and he's like 10 feet tall. So seeing the two of us, you're like, I guess the mom had to be short, because that's the only way that I would have popped out like this. But we really compliment each other well, in my opinion. And Shy and I really genuinely felt fondly towards each other. Like immediately we had a connection. And I felt like he looked out for me all the time. You know, when I had to do these stunts where I'm running across the roofs and stuff, and I'm getting a little, you know, bruises and hurt. And he's like, you better call that stunt double in, because listen, Netflix is going to send you a fruit basket, okay? You have to look out for you. And obviously, like, Netflix takes care of us very well and looks out for our safety. But it's so true. Any job, any person, you are your last line of defense. And you've got to speak up. And he was like... He really looked out for me in that way, and I liked that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you did a lot of the stunts yourself?
Yes. I had an awesome stunt double named Marley, and she's the one. She does this amazing jump across a roof, harnessed. I mean, I can't it will take your breath away. I felt like an auntie recording her doing it just because I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so young and she's doing this jump. And she was nervous, but she did. She nailed it. And honestly, it looks like me. People all the time, they were like, Logan? And she'd turn around and be Marley. But yeah.
That's cool. Did I see you kissing somebody in the trailer?
Hell no.
No? Okay. It wasn't you. It went so quick. I'm like, who is she kissing?
Someone else is kissing somebody.
Okay.
I'm not kissing. If I'm kissing somebody, then they must have got some behind the scenes. Was I kissing somebody in Toronto? I don't know.
What was it that made you, like, what was the must-do factor that made you want to take this role on?
Oh, that's a good question. The writer, so I had a Zoom with the producers, and I can't remember if Harlan was on that Zoom. I cannot remember. Maybe he was. But they were so cool. I want to work with these people. They just seem like you want to work with people that are nice, kind, and know how to have fun and are good at what they do. You know, Harlan Coben is such an incredible writer. His IP is just dope. So this was an opportunity for me to come back home to Netflix. This is an opportunity for me to, you know, do action. I haven't really been able to do action, and this is something I totally would do again. So yeah, all of those things, I'd say.
So cool. And Sam Worthington and Milo Ventimiglia, great actors, too.
Absolutely.
What are they like?
Yeah, I'm like, am I in Avatar? Am I in Severance? Am I in This Is Us? I don't know where I am. But yeah, it's wonderful to see the process of people. I remember we were shooting one of the last scenes. We're like all in the woods. It's me, Sam, Britt, Milo, and we're all standing there. Sam is in the corner doing his prep. Britt is like getting herself ready because we've been running in the woods. I'm doing like my eagle arms. And Milo just stands there and he's like, actors. He's like, this is like, I wish people could see this because it was just all of us doing art prep. And it really looks so kooky and silly, but you gotta do what you gotta do. So it's a privilege to be able to watch people observe their process and be a part of how they work, you know, because every actor is unique and it's like painting. We're all the different colors on the palette and we're making something together. And, you know, you have to be able to blend and let some people shine. And then you take your, it's that dance. And yeah, I definitely learned a lot watching everybody.
And it was nice to see Madeline Stowe too.
Oh my
gosh,
I'm a big fan. Huge. I saw her and she has that, like what you think of when you see her on screen, she actually has that. You know, some people are putting it on for the role, but
yes,
that regality, that kind of, I'm like, is she royalty? Because she's just so, and really lovely. Because I was fangirling. I was fangirling.
Yeah, I always liked her too. And I was like, oh my God, that's Madeline Stowe.
I know. Stellar cast.
Cool. Yeah, really good. Okay, you started acting at such a young age.
True.
Was performing, you know, always in your blood? Did you always know you wanted to do it?
Yeah, for sure. My parents, they did a wonderful job of exposing us to the arts, whether that was fine arts in the home or taking us to theater performances or musical performances. My mom traveled for a living, so we traveled a lot and saw different places. And I think that all just goes hand in hand with wanting to embody that kind of creation. And my mom had me in dance very young. And yeah, I've always wanted to create. We were doing, like, just like, you know, everybody, I feel like at some point, everyone did the fireplace stage productions, you know, where you're like, you get to give tickets to the family, come see my performance, don't come in, I'm rehearsing. Definitely did that. And my younger brother is a performer too. That was just there. My grandmother played the piano, her father, just music and art they're inseparable in the home. And I also grew up in the church. I went to Ebenezer Baptist Church, still do. Woo, Reverend Warnock. But the church is also incredibly performative in some ways. The music and the pomp and circumstance. And that was in the Baptist church for sure, is a very lively place. So I cannot point to any particular place and say that that didn't have some kind of an influence on me, because it absolutely did, you know?
Oh, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. And your mom's with you today.
Yeah, my mom is here in her fabulous outfit.
Yes.
She tried to show me up. She might have won. People say that all the time. They'll, like, I'll post a photo of me and a photo of my mom, and they're like, yeah, she ate you up.
She sure does look good. Beautiful, too. And drinking that champagne, I love it.
Yes.
Oh, it's nice. It's nice. You could see you have a nice family. It resonates with you.
Oh, I appreciate that.
What do you remember most about landing your first major film role? Bratz, was it?
Bratz, yes. Yeah, so Bratz, I was 17. What I remember is that when I auditioned for it, I didn't get it initially. And I was in Georgia in high school. And I remember my parents, they really invested in my dreams. I was going, my dad had gone with me to the audition, I believe that one. Flew with me from Atlanta to LA and back, and we were on our way to church, and I was in the back of the car. My mom was like, well, tell us how the audition went. And I'm like, oh, I don't know, I don't think I did my best. And I remember her being upset, because she's like, we're not sacrificing all of this for you to not do your best. And that was something for me to take note of and to remember. You know, your parents make sacrifices for you to show up. And anyway, I remember it was a high school basketball game, and my mom is like, yelling. This is weeks later. She's like, Logan. She's like, you got the part. I have no idea what she's talking about, but it was Brat. So I graduated early through a program, got to go to LA and shoot a movie with Avi Arad, who does all the Marvel films. And he really thought of Bratz as like superheroes in doll form. And we did a European tour. I was on the side of a bus. I mean, 17. That was so cool. And then I went to college.
So what was that like going from, you know, a spotlight like that and then actually going to college?
You know, it was...
Any regrets?
I never regrets. Always living life going forward. But what I do remember is that, like anybody, I thought going to college was going to be kind of my chance to recreate myself and to like be whoever I'm going to be at school. And my reputation for being on this film preceded me. So I kind of came to campus and they were like, oh, the girl from Bratz. And that was my first experience of like, oh, wow. So when you are on screen or you are any kind of performer or you have any kind of public facing, forward facing role, that will precede you always. Right. And it's not something you can ever really get rid of. And you kind of have to learn to embrace it. And I definitely do embrace it now. And I always say I feel like a citizen of the world because I can go to France and someone will know me from something and I can feel that connection, and it makes the world feel so much smaller than what it appears.
Right.
So yeah, that was my experience. And then my girlfriend, I'm living here, or my girlfriends from college, a lot of them live here in New York. And that was from my freshman year at Vandy, and they are still some of my closest friends.
Wow.
You know, I have been in their weddings, go to their weddings. These are... I'm auntie to their kids. Like, these are my people. So, I mean, I'm such a huge advocate. I'm in school right now. I love school.
Really?
Yes.
What do you mean? Where?
I'm just finishing. I never finished my undergrad because I kept going to, I did UCLA study abroad. I did Cal State LA. I did a lot of I took classes in a lot of places, but I was never focused on my degree. I was just focused on learning what I wanted to learn, like whether that was studying German, et cetera. I thought, you know what? I want to finally get this undergrad. So film and media studies is my major.
Oh, wow.
Currently. Yeah.
Cool.
Surprise.
And you directed too.
I did.
Tell us about that.
I did. I directed a film as a part of the Women Right Now program, which was under Heartbeat Productions, Kevin Hart's production company. And at the time, Ty Randolph and Candace Wilson-Cherry were headlining that program, and it was incredible. I was paired with a young woman who wrote a comedic script, and they extended this invitation to me as an actress and two other women who are actresses to direct a short film that was fully funded, that was going to be distributed on Peacock, that they would then take to Sundance to premiere. I premiered my first short film in a huge theater at Sundance. This was incredible. And you know what? It's women. It was women who believed in other women, and they said, you know what? You do not need to prove anything. We believe in you. We've seen the work that you've done in your life, and we believe in this, in you being able to step up to the plate here. And I don't know any other program when it comes to directing or writing or anything that is doing that. In every industry across the board, people are like, they want to see what you can do first. And so that was, I mean, a dream come true.
That's so cool. Did that change your approach to acting at all? Or
directing? Yes, absolutely. And it I've always respected directors and loved them. That's why I wanted to be them. But it also made me realize, wow, they are doing a damn good job. Because think about every actor on a set has a different process and speaks a different language when it comes to their artistry. And these directors are... having to figure that out and navigate it. Not only that, they're navigating an entire set. And then as an actor, I think it just made me want to use my voice even more as an actor. I just think I believed after directing that there are no guardrails or limit to any position on a set, that it is a true collaboration. And everyone, I don't think it's too many cooks in the kitchen for people to speak up when there's something that they feel very strongly about, you know, and that's affected me as an actor. I definitely want to speak up more if I feel very strongly about something, you know, because I'm like, I have good ideas.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Good for you. That's great. Thanks. And, you know, like you said, you started when you were a teen. What would your current self tell that teen now?
Wow. My current self. Well, like I said, I always live life moving forward. I would tell her, I really would just tell her she's on the right path. I sincerely would. Because every single moment in my life has brought me to where I am today, for better or for worse. I have no regrets. If I had to go back and do everything, I'd say staying in one place would have been a very different person. I love who I am today, but that I'm curious about what kind of person I would have been if I didn't pursue acting at 14. If I just stayed in Georgia and like went to high school and then went to college, I don't know if I'd be an actor, which is so fascinating to think about how our lives carry us to the points that we are. And I feel that's my destiny, you know?
What do you think you would have been?
I think I might have been in advertising. My dad was a dentist, so if I could deal with blood, then maybe I could be a dentist. I just, oh my gosh, I think that's so... People's mouths are, thank you, you too. People's mouths are like kind of gross.
Yes.
Their mouths are gross. So, but that, yeah, maybe a dentist, that would have been cool.
That's funny. There's been a lot of conversation recently about, you know, young performers in Hollywood. Mm. Or what do you think helped you stay grounded?
My mom and my dad and my family, for sure. Very easy to say that. Absolutely. My friends, and my dad used to always say this phrase to me. He says, you know, your poop stinks just as much as the next person's, you know, like there's
good one.
He always made me feel like I was special, but he never made me feel like I was more special than another person, that everyone deserves the same respect. And my parents, because I started young and they taught me how to learn everyone's names and how to show up on set and do my job. And yeah, when you have wonderful people around you, it's very easy, in my opinion, to be grounded.
What about the most important thing for protecting and supporting young actors today? Any advice?
It's a great question too. I'm not in that position anymore, so I don't know how much things have changed, but I think that, you know, parents being around, staying around, a lot of young actors get emancipated really young, and I don't know if I think that's the best answer to the situation. I think that parents need to stay around because you need an advocate. When you're a child, you need someone who's looking out for you. Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Good answer. And Dear White People ran for 4 seasons and had such an impact. What are you most proud of from that experience, and why do you think it was so impactful?
I loved being on Dear White People. I had so much fun. First of all, our sets were just a hoot. Like, it was just like truly being back in college. Everybody, our cast and crew, we just loved each other so much, and I think that mattered when it came to the subject matter, that everyone felt so safe and comfortable to explore, you know, conversations around race. And I think what made the show so special to me is I believe people were left understanding that no one group of people are monolithic, that everyone is an individual and deserves to be heard as an individual, regardless of how you might categorize them in the world. And I'd say I am most proud of the fact that during 2020 we had like a 400 or 600 surge in viewership, because people were looking for how to have these difficult conversations. And it's like, hey, it's right here on Netflix. You know, we did this show. It's been here waiting for you. And I'm proud that I remember there were trolls trying to boycott Netflix when our trailer first came out. And I'm just so proud of Netflix for being like, yeah, we don't care. The show's coming out. They don't scare us. Like, we stand behind this show, you know?
Why do you think it resonated so strongly with so many people?
I think there's something incredibly timeless about it, and the cinematography and the writing and the directing was stellar. I mean, we had the best of the best on that show. It was cinema on a small screen. Our directors are Oscar winners. Do you know the scope of what this show was on television? Made it so that, similar to film, you can lose yourself in a world. And when you can lose yourself in a world, you are really able to experience what it's got to share with you. And that's why it's disarming. They always say with comedy as well, it's like they get you laughing so that you can get the medicine fed to you, because then your mouth is open for the medicine, right? So that's what satire does. And I think it resonated with people because these were just characters living their lives. And it just happened to be difficult messages.
So good, so good. You recently shared that you were adopted, which was really open and vulnerable. Mm. And what was that like to share that publicly? And do you have anything to say to others that, you know, maybe have found out recently? Or
yeah, it's so funny. That's something like I spent my whole life just like keep, like my everyone in my family, right, my friends, like everyone knew that was never a secret in my life. My parents told me very young and embraced that. And I think sharing it publicly, there was so many layers to that. I felt like I was able to share how I related to my character in some ways, and I almost felt like pushed by my character to say that. I am so blessed. Like I have the best family. I just
clearly
I do, yeah, and I just feel so blessed. And it is, yeah, being an adopted person can be it has its challenges. Even I have the perfect family, and yet still you search for answers in terms of who are you on these other levels and on a biological cellular level. It's interesting that life can give you all of these blessings and hand them to you, and you still wonder on this intrinsic level, who am I? I think that's the question that everybody can relate to, is like, who am I? Yeah, it's so sharing that publicly was, it felt like a bit of a whirlwind when I did it. And I'm still like learning how to talk about it, because it still feels like something that's so, I kept kind of for myself for so long. And what was most important to me was that my family was okay with me sharing that. And I asked them first, I was like, hey, I think this might come up in interviews. How do you feel about it? And you know, they're like, that's your story to share. And yeah, but I will tell you this, it's interesting that even though I'm not blood related to my family, I know that I am deeply, deeply connected to them. There are so many instances, for example, my mom at one point got into a terrible car accident. And I was 30 minutes away and I was with some friends, and I was just like, I have to go. My mom needs me, I have to go. And they were like, you just got here. And I was like, no, I have to go. And then I just went home to find her, and then she told me she had been at a store, and instead of going home, I was like, no, I have to find her. And I went to the store, and her car wasn't in the parking lot, and I called her, and her phone, she wasn't answering her phone, and then finally she answered the phone, and she was like, I was just in a car accident.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I felt that. Wow. I felt that. Wow. Like my body told me to find your, she was like, find your mom. So things like this have happened with my brother as well. So family is beyond blood. Family is, you know, so much deeper than that.
I love it. I love that. You've worked with so many great actors, directors. Is there someone that really influenced you, or stories that you have?
That's a good question too. I have had every actor, every director. I learned something from every single person on the planet. I'll learn something from you when I leave here today. It's such, I really think if you give yourself the space, there's something that everybody can teach you. If you listen close enough, so everyone can teach you something. But I'll never forget Jonathan Frakes. You know, when you're on a series, you have a new director every week, and the Trekkies will know Jonathan Frakes. And he walked on the set, and he was like, hey, John. Hey, Sarah. Hey, Cindy. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I said, have you worked with them before? How do you know their names? And he went, oh, no, honey, I just read the call sheet. And I was like, wow, what a concept. It's so, like, it's right there for you to learn everybody's names. Like, none of us have an excuse. So I learned that from him. Richard Shepard, who directed me in The Perfection, which is also on Netflix, has been an incredible mentor to me in terms of directing. And I sat down with him one day, and I'm, like, picking his brain. And he goes, you know, Logan, it's great that you are shadowing. It's great that you want all these mentors and you're reading, but taking these classes, but you will find out what kind of a director you are on set. In those last 10 minutes, when it's all on you, that's when you're gonna find out. And he was so right. And it's just like acting. You can watch all the actors in the world, read all the books, take all the classes, which are important, but you find out what kind of an actor you are when you step onto that set.
Yeah, that's great. That's so good. And you're a singer too. Tell us about that.
Sure I am. Yeah, I mean, I love to perform, and I have been given a wonderful opportunity to sing in some of the projects I've been in. Like Dear White People, season 4 was a musical, and that was incredible. I mean, that was so fun doing a 90s musical. Yeah, I don't put out my own songs, but yeah, I would love to be in a Broadway performance singing one day. That would be amazing.
All right. What do you like to do when you're not working? Eat. Love it. What's your favorite comfort food? You can really tell on her. The bee.
Oh, yeah. I love eating when it's in community. I love being in community, truly. So I just love sharing a meal with someone else. And I'd say my favorite comfort food is, I really do love Italian. Like, yeah.
I'm Italian.
Oh, yeah.
What do you like to do when you're not working? Besides eat.
When I'm not working, I really do spend a lot of time with my family. I really do try my best to connect with the people who maybe I haven't spent as much time with. I love watching films. I love going to the theater, going to see plays, going to the movies. I love working out. I have a dog.
Yay. Me too. And like I said, you're just absolutely stunning. Thank you. Your skin. What are your skincare regimens that you must do?
That's a good question too, because I'm someone who's suffered with acne my whole life.
Really?
And it's been a lot of trial and error.
Shocking.
One of my dermatologists said, it's going to sound crazy. She's like, you need to take more showers. She's like, you need to be taking a shower at night and in the morning. She's like, you're sweating in the daytime. And so that was just hygiene in general, which sounds so bad to say, like, girl, are you dirty? No. But like just keeping up with hygiene and chemical exfoliants, like glycolic acid is a winner. Like retinols, winners.
Awesome.
Yeah. And keeping it simple. My mom will tell you, like, the more simple you can keep it. And finally, maybe I listen to her. Sure, fine, I'll listen to my mom.
She's gorgeous too.
She is.
What are you obsessed with right now, binging?
I'm really obsessed with going to the movies. So I just saw Is God Is and I Love Boosters in the theater, which are both so incredible. They're like in the 90s on Rotten Tomatoes, which is not easy to do. 90s on Rotten Tomatoes, it's a feat. Streaming wise, I just finished Nemesis on Netflix. I am in the middle of The Testaments on Hulu. Yeah, and I don't watch Summer House, but I feel like I do because it's just all over my internet.
Awesome. What's on your music playlist?
Let's see. Oh, that's a good question. Because I'm just all over the place when it comes to music.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't know. I love old school. Like I love Anita Baker. I'll put Sade on at any time. She's not really old school, but I'll put Sade on at any time.
Classic.
Vibes, you know? What's yours?
I love it. They're up there too, but I'm all over too.
You
I
have
like
a
heavy metal too.
Heavy metal?
I do. I
can't
Slayer
picture
and
this.
Megadeth.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Nobody can. Alice in Chains. I like
wow.
You know,
what are you
grunge.
Binging?
What am I binging?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to binge your show.
Yeah, I know. That's right.
I don't know. I'm asking the questions, girl. You put me on. This is hard to do this. I don't even know. Oh, you know what? I like Shrinking.
Oh, yeah. It's very good.
Rooster.
Yes, these are good.
And Four Seasons.
Yes, season 2. I got to watch season 2.
You're such a lovely person.
Thank you. Likewise. I appreciate that.
Yay. Oh, thank you. You made my whole day.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv.